Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
We're in Philadelphia.
We're in Philadelphia. Going to an Eagles game today.
Go Birds.
Recording from New York and Los Angeles, your hosts, Nicole Katz and Brianna Klein, are emerging from the tunnel for this week's show. Another sports show is ready to broadcast to you on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Make us one of your stars of the game by subscribing, liking the video, and turning on auto downloads. Before we kick off, please leave us a podcast review and YouTube comment. Attend the postgame on social media for exclusive daily content. Today on another sports show.
We have been planning this for a year and a half.
Yeah.
We're going to the Eagles-Browns game.
Which was honestly actually the one of the like few games we said that we were not going to go to. And now we're going.
Because we're going to Taylor Swift next week.
Yes, it's a big week. Big week for us.
So I wasn't going to fly across. Well, I would. I would have totally flown across country twice if we're being completely honest. Right. But this made too much logistical sense, so we're going to Eagles Browns today. I have not been to Lincoln Financial Field since I believe I was 12.
And I've never been.
Right. We're going to get Nicole a certificate that says it's her first time at an Eagles game, which we're very excited about. We're also going to kind of sort of record the show throughout the day. And then anything we miss, we're going to do like dead at the end, like probably right back here.
Yes, in this spot.
Exact spot.
Probably a lot more tired and hopefully still cheery in a good mood.
Right.
We'll also be doing a lovely check-in throughout the day of Brianna's stress status.
Today is going to determine. Okay, wait, hold on. Take it away, voiceover man.
It's another sports show, but it's not.
Okay, today is going to determine whether or not the Eagles are good.
No pressure.
The Browns are a bad team.
Yes.
The Eagles are coming off a bye.
Right.
If they lose this game, I just have to say the Eagles are bad.
Okay. I feel unsafe being at this game now suddenly of like the determination of if the Eagles are good or not. But yeah, no, that's a really good point because the Browns are just like a dumpster fire of an organization and team at the moment in time. So the Eagles should have absolutely no problem if they are a team.
Now it's the NFL, so I don't care if they win closely. If they lose this game, yeah. I can't even delude myself into thinking this is a playoff team.
Honestly, it's fair. That's a fair take. This should be a cakewalk of a game based on.
I also think we should give them the background that I gave you last night, which is that every Eagles game I've ever been to, because I've been to some away Eagles games, what has happened is that the Eagles have like been comfortably winning for three quarters and then even into the fourth quarter and then the last 10 minutes of the game, they lose it in the most dramatic fashion ever. So the reason I haven't talked about this in the weeks leading up to this is because I didn't want everyone to be mad I was going to the game.
Because everyone's going to be like, you're going to cost us right. The game.
I'm a little worried that this is just my bad juju, that like every Eagles game I go to is lost in the same heartbreaking fashion.
Well, the only way to change the juju is to keep going, and then eventually they win.
Right, because superstition or super stupid, I am the reason the Eagles lose in the last 10 minutes of the fourth in the most painful way possible.
Unfortunately, I may go with superstition because I think I also consistently think that my presence is going to change the outcome of a game. I have not seen the Jets win in person, I think, in my whole life. So,
yeah. You went to that Denver Jets game?
Yeah, it was so wet and cold. Ooh, it was not.
I was miserable for you
day. It was so bad. And now I'm going. Go Birds.
Go Birds.
Go Birds.
We'll check in.
Let's go to the link! And Wawa.
Oh yeah, Wawa first.
Wawa and then the link.
Yeah, here. Driving over. I am at an unreasonable level of excited. We stopped and we got Wawa coffee and cookies.
Go Birds! Go Birds! Go Birds! Go Birds!
Woo, look, there's the Flyers!
We're in Philly!
I kind of still hate you. We're in a fight, but I love you. I'll be back next season.
So we were walking in. I bought merch.
I did too.
We bought things. Go Birds.
Wait. We're going to walk up now.
Ah!
Hi.
That's the feel. We feel optimistic at the current moment in time.
I don't know if I would say that. I just feel happy.
We feel happy. Okay, that's a good way to phrase.
You
Browns didn't score in the first. So we saw a tush push for several for first down.
1971.
Vibes are stressed.
Half time.
When Nick Sirianni gets involved, everything goes badly. That's my only thought.
You just saw block, kick, run to a touchdown. Now it's halftime. We're done now. Right now, this.
I don't want to vomit.
End of the third. Uh-huh. Less vomity. We're here. No, we're just feeling. It was kind of actually the end of my sentence. We're feeling.
We have 5 sacks, and yet the defense still looks awful. The fact that Slay is out is giving me anxiety.
Go Birds.
We have reached the end of the game.
The Eagles won.
Go Birds.
Go Birds. I'm pretty sure the Eagles are still a bad team, but now at least I'm happy.
We didn't get to see them blow that. That was incredible.
Go Birds.
There's the Birds. Go Birds. Go Birds.
Hello.
Hi. We're eating.
It's dinner time.
It's dinner time.
Because I'm so hungry after the day of existing that we had.
Right.
That doesn't feel real.
We basically thought we would eat our dinner and do the last pieces of recording we have, but mostly just talk to you about going to the Eagles game today.
Which was an experience. As is this going after all of our clips, or is this going to go before?
Uh-huh. After
all. As you've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm eating soup.
Right.
In my bed.
Yeah, there is absolutely no way we were leaving the hotel room. So we're sitting in the hotel bed eating sushi.
So this is another sports show's first mukbang.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
Welcome. We're happy to have you here.
Shout out to, I already don't remember the name of the sushi place that we ordered from in Philadelphia, but
so far it's good.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. We're. Okay.
Yeah. We're in prime exhausted moods.
The Eagles won. Even though saying it out loud.
It doesn't feel like it.
No.
But it's better than a loss.
Yes.
Basically, I'm not cursed, we've learned. I can watch the Eagles win a game in person, which feels great.
I'm also not cursed at Eagles games.
Uh-huh.
Which is fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, I got a certificate. We don't have it printed yet,
yeah.
But we will.
Her first Eagles game certificate. This is my first time back at the Link. Since I was about 12. So that felt like an out-of-body experience. I knew this already. I knew this as a kid. But I want to reiterate for the podcast how cool the sports complex is. It's so easy to get there from the city. And then, like, to have all the buildings right there. And I'm, like, mad at the Phillies right now, but it was still cool to see the bank.
Of course, we park right next to it.
Yeah. I said, maybe I'll include that clip in here if I remember. If not, I basically was like, I'm mad at you right now. We're in a fight. But I love you and I'll see you next year.
It was a great time. Love the sports complex. I wish every city had, first, I guess, the capabilities
mm-hmm.
of being able to build a sports complex like that of ease and access from the city, because that was awesome.
Yeah.
We literally, from leaving our garage and parked in 15 minutes, the energy was great. Fans were a vibe. The tailgating experience was
college-esque.
Wow.
Which I knew because I'm the Eagles fan.
But there were so many Eagles-painted buses.
Mm-hmm.
There was a wedding. We didn't even see the wedding. We saw the wedding after the fact. But,
yeah.
Eagles fans, not that I ever expected them not to go hard, but surprise, they do.
It was so fun to not be the anomaly. Like, I walk around in Eagles clothes all the time anyway. But to be surrounded by other people in Eagles clothes was just, like, a joy.
Yeah.
It was a joy.
It was very funny walking around to Wawa today. And it was kind of setting in of, wow.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's in
Everyone is an Eagles fan here.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
Okay. What was your high of the experience and your most unexpected moment of the experience? Let's start with high, because I feel like that's easier to pull. And I can start. I have one.
Okay, go, because I have to think.
My high was the first touchdown, and we got to sing the fight song, because it's been so long since I've been able to scream the Eagles fight song, like, with other fans. And, like, the Eagles, after they score a touchdown, do, like, the full fight song. Like, I've chanted, like, E-A-G-L-E-S Eagles a ton of times, but, yes, like, being able to sing the whole fight song was a joy. That was my high.
Potentially, I mean, just the whole game day experience. High, obviously, buying merch. I love merch. Mm-hmm. There's so much good merch, so I don't want to say that my high was to do with the sports.
No.
But, like, I think the touchdown, especially, it was, like, right in front of us.
Yeah.
Was, like,
that first
awesome.
One? Yeah.
Was, like, really awesome and fun to watch and see. I mean, low was the back-to-back sack to
the
messed up kick.
The whole series at the end of this.
Interception to then, of course, that's the one time of the day.
What if an interception?
Block. Thank you.
Because Jalen Hurts didn't.
There was no interceptions.
Hurts. There was no Jalen Hurts turnovers.
Yeah. The block kicked, which then they recovered to score, and then they played Taylor Swift. Oh, no, they played Taylor Swift after the sack.
Oh, yeah. And so Jalen Hurts gets sacked. And then they played Taylor Swift. And Nicole's like, looked at me and goes, I'm so sorry. I can't help it. And then screamed, I could do it with a broken heart, at me for like 20 seconds.
I said the whole thing. Yeah. I said, I'm so sorry this is happening right after he got sacked, but I can't not do it. And I am who I am. So, but they won.
I think my most unexpected moment.
Oh, right. Doing unexpected, not lows.
No, but that was the low.
Yes.
Of the day, well, a positive unexpected moment was for sure how easy it was, like, all the parking and stuff, the logistics of getting there was great.
Yes.
I think my unexpected moment of the day was how great the fan zone outside the stadium is. Like, being able to, like, grab, like, an Eagles Bud Light. Like, we got the, like, Kelly Green cans. And, like, that seems small, but it was, like, fun. And we took the photo with the Birds logo.
Pepsi gave us meatballs and buffalo chicken egg rolls.
Right. Like, there was a bunch of free food, and there was the free face painting, which we didn't do. But, like,
it was, like, a great experience. Yeah. I also thought the fact that they have the fan zone thing set up in between, like, you scan your tickets, and it's also, you can, it's something to do before the actual gates open, is really awesome.
Yeah. Because you and I weren't, like, going in with any, like, oh, we're going to tailgate this or anything, and it's just the two of us.
It's a really good thing if you're, especially coming from out of town,
right,
you don't have the full setup, or, like, maybe you don't want to spend $70 on the professional
Xfinity
tailgating
Live,
or Xfinity Live, like, anything. It's a really awesome option. It's great for families. It's great for not families. There's so much beer and there's so much shopping.
And we were listening to WIP, which is the local radio station, like, do their pregame show. Like, I knew that all existed, but it was unexpected to me how fun and good it was. I just totally expected us to, like, walk around, like, do a lap, and then, like, go to the store to, like, buy merch. And,
yeah.
Like, no, so much more fun than that.
Yeah, that's definitely was a huge, wonderful, pleasant surprise. Yeah.
The entire thing feels like a fever dream. It felt like we left here this morning and I, like, blinked and we're back. And, like, I'm now just like, did that actually happen? But, like,
I have this hat, so we know that it happened.
Because, I have my new hat too.
Yeah,
so,
because,
like,
duh, hats.
Yeah. Which is not the Flyers hat I'm wearing right now. I just, like, know that I have bad hat hair. So
miso soup is delish. And definitely what my throat and everything need after screaming today.
Yeah. So I think in conclusion, despite our lack of energy right now, today was so fun.
A great day.
Go Birds.
Go Birds.
We were either going to witness the end of Nick Sirianni's tenure as a coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, or we were going to witness a win. And at least, I guess I'll take a win.
So I've had this clip of Will Levis decking a ball boy replaying for like the last 25 minutes just in front of my screen, and I just noticed that now. But I also want to point out that trending on my Twitter, because who knows what that means anymore, is Fire Sirianni. Mm-hmm. Which is probably every week. Mm-hmm. So
it was a bad week.
But
yeah,
not as bad of a week as the ball boy that definitely tore his MCL, ACL because of Mayo QB, man.
Yeah, the Browns are really bad.
Like, scary bad.
Yeah. The Eagles are bad, but the Browns are, like,
really bad.
Really bad.
Broad Street versus Broadway. But is it really a debate? Because VoiceOver Man is Team Broad Street, and that makes the vote 2-1 on this show. Let's go, birds.
I feel like I need to chop off the end of the Broad Street versus Broadway intro for this segment, where VoiceOver Man says, like, it's 2-1 on this podcast, go birds, because congratulations.
Yeah, yeah. This is, again, we're so bad at shit-talking to each other, and the entire Mets-Philly series was just, well, you're going to win, you're going to win, you're going to win. And then I was convinced, because I was at the last game at Citi Field, that they were going to lose because of my presence.
I think before we get into like the details of your experience, I think we need to remind everyone that you are a Jets fan, an Islanders fan, a Mets fan, and a University of Miami Hurricanes fan. Mm-hmm. Nicole has had very little like extreme sports joy in her life.
I don't know happiness in sports. I suffer all the time.
Right. All of this to say, Nicole, was this the best moment in your sports life?
Potentially. It was like out of body. Like, I have never experienced a sporting event that way with the energy, and like the crowd was so unbelievably electric. Like, the closest thing that I feel like I could compare it to was like UM versus Notre Dame, but like the stakes,
that game.
Right. But like the stakes in this were just so much bigger, and like it, I didn't sit down. Like, I think after the first inning, I stood the entire time. Everyone was just like unbelievably, the energy was, you could like taste it. And you could just feel like the tension, and everyone's like how amped the whole crowd was. So yeah, it's definitely like top three for sure. It's, you know, always hard to rank those. But like, yeah, that was definitely best Mets game I've ever been through.
I was sitting there trying to think of your teams. And mm-hmm. I was like, there was that one run the Jets made.
Yeah, but I always have such superstition of the Jets that, like,
it never felt fun.
Yeah. That I'm just always feeling like it's just not. And there was something about this, like, Mets team that I'm like, it's not impossible. Like, it felt like the juju was there that it could happen.
That stupid pumpkin.
Rally Pumpkin and Grimace We Trust. I'll just start listing all of the bizarre bits that, like, the Mets have. And there's, like, way too many, which is, like, really crazy that teams should usually only have one. And the Mets just continue to add bits,
right.
Which I love bits, so go Mets.
Right. Describe to the audience when did it click for you that they were going to win, and then when did it actually sink in that they won?
Literally, it was not till, I wasn't convinced until it happened, but the peak moment of the game, bottom of the sixth, like Lindor's comes to bat, and you could feel it. Like, it felt like a home run was due, and it was, and my boyfriend's dad said Lindor's going to hit it right now. And then he did. And it was just like group hugs. There were strangers that we were just in hugs, jumping up and down. Like, it was out of this world. Then top of the ninth, I was just prepared for Schwarber to tie it up. Like, I was convinced, you could not have told me that game was over. I was like, I've heard too much in the last couple of months about like the possibility of like what Schwarber can do at bat, and it was just two men on base. I'm like, this is about to go into extra innings, and I'm just gonna have most unbelievable stress. And then there was a strikeout, and that is it was when the game was over, was when I realized that actually was real, because I just would not let myself believe anything else.
Okay, I'm glad that you had the moment when you were in the stadium, though, because I was worried that you were gonna like sleepwalk to the car. And
no.
What did y'all do afterwards?
We were hanging out in the – we stayed inside Citi Field for a little while, because, like, everyone wasn't leaving the field, because it was the first time the Mets have clinched at Citi Field. Like, it was – what a time. And then we hung out in the parking lot for probably a half hour, 45 minutes, and did, like, the extra mini tailgate, because also traffic was insane. But it was just, like, a party. There was a block party happening outside of the stadium with the DJ and, like, all of this stuff. So it was just, like, the party continued outside. It, yeah, yeah. It
what it was just a giant extravaganza. Everyone was celebrating, screaming. Wow.
So at this point, we now know that the Mets are playing the Dodgers. It's officially true. I have been screaming that of the options, like, the Dodgers are still hobbling together with no pitching.
Right.
And guess what? The Mets really have no pitching. So you did not, in my opinion, want to go off up against a team with pitching in San Diego. So I'm not saying this is going to be easy. They are the best, like, they have the best record in all of baseball. They have the MVP in Shohei Ohtani. Like, I'm not, but yes, how are you feeling?
I'm stressed and nervous. I feel 1% less stressed that it's not San Diego. But, like, it's still the Dodgers have been one of the biggest storylines all season. So kind of going into this, I feel terrified. I also – West Coast travel is a lot, and I believe in the Mets. I believe in the GQ.
Which I think we need to pause there for a second because it is shocking that Nicole would ever say she believes in
the Mets.
Any one of her teams. It's not even just the Mets. The fact that she's just like, I believe in insert one. Like, she spends her entire life going, I don't believe in any of my teams, period. And if you think about the teams that she likes, like.
Yeah.
There's wood right there, yes, where you're all wood. Sitting
yes,
on.
Yes, so I have to knock.
Superstition or super stupid?
That's superstition. The third option of real? That's real. That's real.
Okay, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. So you're feeling good.
I'm feeling like it's not impossible is how I will. My biggest concern is the crazy West Coast travel back and forth. But, like, you know what? Teams do this and it happens and it was going to be this way no matter what. And it's fine. Talking about it is making me nervous because I was really all day thinking about, like, the Eagles. And then today, as we're watching ESPN, I'm like, oh, right. This is
baseball still a thing.
What is still today?
You didn't win the World Series when you beat the lowly Phillies.
No. And I've just been living in, like, this New York bubble of just, like, every person that I walk past wearing Mets gear, we just scream, let's go Mets. And it's, like, everything is, like, a giant party in New York. It's very, very weird. I had a Yankees fan that was like, see you in the World Series. And I was just like, I'm going to throw up.
Well, that's a perfect transition to the final question I want to ask you in this segment. You hate the Yankees, right?
Yeah.
You don't want the Yankees to win the World Series. If, this is a theoretical thing, if I would say the Mets lose to the Dodgers, but that guarantees the Yankees don't win the World Series, or the Mets beat the Dodgers and play in the World Series, but the Yankees end up winning the World Series, which would you rather more?
Is this then, like, so it ends up being a Subway Series?
It ends up being a Subway Series. You get to see the Mets.
Yankees win.
You get to see the Mets in the World Series, which is cool, but the Yankees win. Or they lose to the Dodgers and the Dodgers go on to beat the Yankees.
Oh, I'm going to say a really shocking thing that I'm registering. I want Subway Series World Series. I want a Subway Series World Series.
That's why it was an interesting question.
That sentence is such a fun thing to say, and it would be so, like,
I think the world might explode.
The world would definitely explode. And, like, there's some part of my brain that's like, yeah, of course we're going to lose to the Yankees because that's just how my whole life has just existed. So it's almost like I can, like, go in expecting it, but, like, we're in the World Series. We're not supposed to be here.
Like, that's how I felt about the Phillies in 22. And they, like, the Houston Astros, like, beat them, but there was still a chance and it was still exciting. And, like, I don't look back on 22 and, like, feel like
you,
I don't
wish
feel
you didn't, you, like, they lost before.
Yeah. Like, I don't feel a lot of bitterness about 22 because the Astros were just so good.
Right.
And they went on this, like, incredible run. I feel a little bitter about last year and this year hasn't set in yet. And I'll feel, like, exceptionally bitter about this year, but that incredible run when you don't expect it, but yep. You know, the highest payroll underdog Mets.
Let's go Grimace.
I hate everything.
Let's go Grimace. Oh my God. Featuring Pitbull.
Hot take.
I feel like we should set the scene of yesterday. And so we spent most of yesterday driving from New York to Philadelphia.
Yes.
So we didn't watch a lot of Texas-Oklahoma.
But, like, did we have to?
I really don't think we missed anything.
No.
Yeah.
Texas just
stomped them. Yeah. So Texas might actually be the best team. And all I have to say is I want to watch Georgia-Texas next week before I say anything.
Yeah. Because Georgia's been a little bit back and forth, and Texas has just continued to be like a big powerhouse. But that's a actual matchup. I feel like one like Texas is like
right.
first real actual matchup this year to really give us an idea of.
Yeah, I mean, I said this on Friday Football Forecast. Like, this was their first like test because mm-hmm. it's so are on their schedule the first test, but like the real one was Georgia.
Yeah, and this has just the emotional potential. Like Red River is could have right. been like
this could have been a letdown,
right?
Like, this could have been bad. But glad it wasn't no. because Oklahoma's really not that good and no. a freshman quarterback, and it like wasn't going to. But, okay, so quickly moving on. I love watching Ohio State lose.
In what a magical way of, like, watching his face when he's like, oh, there's no time on the clock. Woo, we lost! And also Oregon, which kind of, it, like, had a little bit of a rocky start at the beginning and, like, had some close games. Again,
I still don't believe Oregon's a real team.
I don't either. They're okay, number but- three. Like, no, that's not a thing. But it's so fun to watch Ohio State lose all the time. Everyone wins when Ohio State loses.
So I know Ohio State is going to be like, it's the West Coast travel. And Penn State almost lost at USC. I think that means the record is now 2-11 of Big Ten teams traveling west. So, which I think is a silly excuse, but could be a thing.
Could be a thing.
They're not used to it.
Right. Like right now, it just feels like the easy answer. It's like the easy, oh, it's the first time we didn't, you know, we're adjusting. Like, okay, so, but like, how, that can't continue to be an excuse, like moving forward. But this year, it's like the easy one for it right. to be.
Like, I don't want to hear about that next year.
No. Yeah.
But this year, it's like, but it's also one of those things where you can tell that these Big Ten teams underestimated this. Like, NFL teams are so used to this. There's other conferences that are so used to this kind mm-hmm. of travel. They could have, like, done their research. Like, all of these head coaches are connected to other, like, in the coaching brotherhood. Like, they could have, like, called up Sean McVay in LA and been like, hey, is there anything I need to know? And then, like, because I know that, like, traveling's exhausting.
Yeah.
I flew from California to New York. It was a long day. I am not an elite athlete. I'm not traveling private, but, like, it's still a long day. But I think this is just, like, a – there's no dominant team in football unless Texas beats up on Bama.
Yeah, yeah. It's.
I mean, beats up on Georgia.
Oops. It feel it's not that, like, the, it's so, like, level field everywhere, but, like, it almost is so that, like, if one team gets a leg up in any way, if it's, like, because one has to travel across the country and the other doesn't, like, that's what – can make the difference this time, but like, yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's just the easy scapegoat answer for this year. And to, again, to your point, if this keeps like being discussed next year, it's like, all right, well, now you knew that this was going to be a difficult thing for you and an issue. Like, figure out ways to alleviate it, prepare. I don't know, get exactly. your whole team like sleeping on a different time zone the week before. Like,
go out a couple days earlier. Right. Yeah. Right. Okay, but I think the big thing we need to talk about is the 12 men on field. And I'll just like, production of Into the Wild, we obviously don't have our props. Was this intentional?
I am choosing to live in the world that it was intentional because that's fun.
I like thinking that it was like a big brain move more right. than you lucked in, like you did a bad thing.
And then they like lost right. time and it was just coincidentally. No, I want to live in the world where this was a very strategical, thought out thing that was like, this is going to be it. I don't think that's what happened. But I'm going to live in that reality because I choose my own destiny.
I also think whether or not it was intentional, this will now be legislated out and we're gonna get the like rule yeah. with the 10-second runoff and like if you commit a penalty that's like
it's gonna spark the like conversation.
The team is gonna have to like there's gonna be stuff.
This little fun loophole that was accidentally or purposefully used last right. night like is yeah I could totally see that getting smashed like so quick.
Right. But also like I'm saying that with the perspective of mostly being an NFL fan where the, like, no matter how you feel about the NFL, like, the competition committee is, like, pretty good on getting stuff like that quickly. And the NCAA is, like, I have zero faith to do anything.
Yeah, they're like, maybe we'll think about it, and maybe we'll look into it in like 6 months to a year. And
so we might be watching like 2 years of college football where the ends of games is like, just have 12 men on field 16 times in a row, and then game over.
And then it's just going to become like a whole different conversation. Yeah, it's going to become a whole thing. Right. But right now, it's fun.
Right. I really feel like we're talking about a thing before it becomes a thing. Like everyone's like,
there's and coaches that are like taking notes.
Like by next week, it's going to be one of those, is this bad for college football things? I hope it doesn't happen, but it's like, I feel like we're on that precipice.
Yeah, I think it's coming. It's going to definitely be a conversation.
I had a realization before we move on to, I think, the final game we wanted to talk about this week. You haven't been able to check in about your state about the Miami Hurricanes. I think the last time we talked about this on the pod, you were at like a 7 riding high on the hype train.
God, I almost kind of want to go down because of the cardiac arrest that I have like gone through in
the last 2 weeks. We literally, and then I recorded a whole Into the Wild segment about that Hail Mary, and then it was the week that everything got scratched. And like,
okay.
Are you still at a 7?
I almost want to go to a 6. Here's the thing. Old Miami never would have won.
Never.
That cow.
No. Game. Either. Like, either game.
Yeah.
They find ways to lose both of those games in dramatic, annoying fashion.
Right, right. So, like, part of me wants to go down just to, like, yell at them and be mad because I felt like my stomach was going to fall out of my butt. However, I'm going to ride it a 7. I'm going to ride it a 7. I'm not going to let myself be a Debbie Downer, and I'm going to ride it a 7 and hold on to the fact that both of those games we would have lost, that the refs are for some reason on our side right now. And if there's an ACC conspiracy, I'm going to ignore it for right now. And that's entirely, but I'm going to live in this delusion right now because it's also a bye week and I don't have to stress about this right now. And the thought of going back to that Cal game in my brain makes me want to explode inside. So I'm just going to be like, yep, it happened. It's done. We're going to keep on going. Louisville next week. So we just don't need to embarrass ourselves. And
we alert.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't mean to throw that at you. That was so not on the outline. I just like had a moment. But now you're going to be significantly less stressed talking about Ole Miss LSU. Because you just are going from your highest possible stress. So like this is now lower.
Yeah.
So Ole Miss, I spoke in Friday Football Forecast that for like weeks about how I have zero belief in them. And I thought they were going to go into LSU at a night game, which they never lose. What was the stat? It's like,
Since 2000, LSU has won 109-15 night games at home,
which is just bonkers.
Well, I guess now 110.
Yeah.
Ew. Gross. And it was close.
Right. And whether or not they won that game, I now more believe that they might be an actual team.
They might be a team. However, unfortunately, at this point,
now they're a team with 2 losses.
Now they're a team with 2 unranked losses.
That's not true. LSU is ranked. They're ranked 13.
Oh my God.
It was 9-13.
I forgot that.
They're pretty evenly matched. LSU just lost that like opener to USC.
Yeah. And then
they've been pretty good since.
Yeah. Yeah. They had a bye last week. That's also why my brain was forgetting that of their whole existence. Yeah. So LSU coming
that
off
that defensive
bye.
Line, man. I think it was 6 or 7 sacks by the end of the game.
Yeah. It was a really tough game to be watching. I really expected LSU to come in and smack. So then for this to then go into overtime was like not something that I expected. And then you just needed to have Ole Miss like hold them. And then it was just like the easiest touchdown pass I feel like I've watched in a very long time.
I felt like at the end of this game, I saw LSU's offense click. It was like they read something in that Ole Miss defense at
a
certain point.
Here's the spot.
Right. It just felt like
they knew the sweet spot. They knew
it's like when you watch baseball and all of a sudden you figure out that the hitting like is reading the pitches, like they're tipping the pitches in some way. Like that's kind of what it felt like. It felt like there was some part of the Ole Miss defense that they just finally figured out, and it was just like money,
and it
money,
clicked.
Money,
yeah,
because
it was so easy. It was like way too easy, and that would have been incredible to see Ole Miss come out of that as a win. I'll be at Oxford in 2 weeks, so it definitely would have added to the energy there. But
who are they playing?
Oklahoma.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be exciting.
Hopefully.
Yeah. No, because I think those two teams are in the same tier.
Ouch.
I really don't feel bad because you're not really an Ole Miss fan.
Okay. Yeah.
So So
it's fair.
And your boyfriend doesn't listen to our podcast.
Yes, that's fair. We could say that.
So, but I'm being honest with, like, they're in the Texas A&M tier where they think they're in the higher
tier.
They're
like SEC, but like not.
Like if you ask an Ole Miss fan and I'll be like, what are the good teams in the SEC? They'll be like, Bama, Georgia, Ole Miss. And then I'll cackle. And it's the same with Texas A&M. They're like, Bama, Georgia, Texas A&M. And I cackle. It's like, no, it's Bama, Georgia, LSU, and everyone else. Yeah. And it doesn't matter if one of those Bama, Georgia, LSU has a down year.
Because they're still going to.
They're still Bama, Georgia, LSU. Like
technically,
I don't...
in a way, well, Bama's now... like. In a down year, kind of, but like not,
and then still
really.
Beat Georgia. Like that's it's, the,
yeah.
And I understand we're in like a new age of college football, but like the new age needs to reorient itself for me to like.
Right. No. Right now, the powerhouse teams are still the powerhouse teams. Like you still have people that were recruited by Saban, like at Bama. Like it's still like there's still the remnants. Of years past. Like it's still the programs that are established. This is like we haven't even gone through our first new college football. We haven't even gone through our new like with the new conferences all set up and everything. Like it's still happening right now. Right. So college football is going to be very different in a year, in 2 years, and teams will adjust accordingly and such. But
Or they won't.
Or they won't.
Like and, Clemson,
hey,
who has kind of righted the ship, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, but whatever. Just never use the transfer portal. Like, continue doing that, I guess. I don't – Clemson, stay away from me.
But Florida and Florida State, whatever you're doing, keep doing it because I like watching you lose.
Yeah, keep going. Keep just doing that.
So I think – we'll talk about it in the Friday football forecast, but like next week is just going to be all about Texas, Georgia.
That's going to really, crazy.
All right. We are changing up for the second week. We learn as we go here how we're going to do like change from MLB series of the week to NHL series because they don't really do series. So we're going to do 3 stars of the week.
Whee!
Give you 3 exciting games in hockey that you should watch this week. And Nicole is going to tell us something interesting. Basically, Nicole's the one who knows more about hockey that's not about the team that's currently on my hat, which is the Flyers. I can tell you about the fourth line of the Flyers. Can barely tell you about Nathan MacKinnon. So, our first star of the week is Thursday night, Oilers at Nashville.
So basically, this should be an action-packed game, just based on Edmonton and Nashville had like a lot of the busy work of like rearranging their, you know, lineups and, you know, picking up free agents over the summer, and Edmonton and Nashville like won the war there. Yeah. So it's going to be very interesting to see these powerhouse talents come together in a matchup right away the first time around. And it's definitely one of the matchups I was really anticipating and excited to watch at the beginning of the season, just to kind of see like, all right, well, after all of this shuffling around, who's going to win out? Is Nashville going to be as powerful as they can say they are in Edmonton after coming off last year? So it's still very early on, but it's going to be a really good test in this second week now.
Yeah, second week. Yeah. The Oilers have the best odds to win the Stanley Cup and have come off to a slow start. There you go. I said things that were actually
true. There you go. And then warn about the Flyers.
Yeah. Hockey analysis about a team that's not the Philadelphia Flyers. But, I mean, because the whole thing last year was that the Oilers were, like, slow starters. And then they, like, of course, made the run they made. But, like, can they really do that again?
I don't know. No. Time will tell. No.
Star number 2. Oilers again.
Yeah.
At Dallas.
Yeah.
But we had to do it because it's a Western Conference Finals
rematch.
So, oh, and we didn't pick the, so who do you got? Oilers at Nashville?
I'm going Nashville.
Yeah, me too. Oilers vibes are like wrong.
And also Nashville at home, Barry Trotz has been like working some like management magic over there.
Is that their coach?
It's their GM. He was the Islanders head coach.
Oh.
And then we lost him. They fired him for no reason. It's stupid. I'll never forgive them.
Islanders don't seem to be known for making great decisions.
Islanders don't seem to be.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's a great sentence, and I got what you mean. So we have Oilers at Dallas, Western Conference Finals rematch. Who you got?
I'm bitter that the Islanders lost to Dallas yesterday 5-0, so I'm picking Edmonton.
Okay. I hate Dallas anything, So I won't take them, and I'll also take the Oilers, which means we're chalked so far, and I know that's, like, not the point. Also, the NLCS starts in 13 minutes and 40 seconds.
There's so much happening in my brain. I'm, like, really overwhelmed.
I'm focusing on sushi.
Yeah, I'm trying to not look at...
As we have half-assed...
There's so much happening. I need to stop Will Levis.
Yeah, Nicole's laptop's right there, and it really, she's not exaggerating, it is just putting Will Levis on repeat. You didn't stop it, it is still just going. Okay.
Yes.
The final star of the week is Saturday, Rangers at Maple Leafs.
I want everyone to lose.
Yeah. But I want the Rangers to lose so much more than I want the Maple Leafs to lose.
Yeah.
But honestly, this game was selected because both these teams are supposed to be really good, and also both these teams seem to always have drama.
I hate them.
Yeah.
I don't know who. I mean, I know both. It could be
you
both.
You hate them.
Right.
Them can be
both
a plural.
I hate both of them.
Uh-huh.
John Tavares has lost his captainship this year, so haha, fuck that. So,
wait, please fill me in.
Nothing. He's old. Literally, he's old, so they...
But,
John Tavares, captain of Toronto Maple Leafs.
Thank you. You got, see.
Sorry.
Guide me and the audience along.
I know.
Oh, they gave it to Matthews, right?
Yeah. Which
people made a really big deal about that. Oh, so question. Hockey question.
Mm.
So I can understand that captaincy means a lot, like, in a locker room, right? Like, it means a lot to the room.
Yes.
Why does everyone in hockey media make a big deal out of it? Like, now, once you're a captain, you're like, Jesus.
I think, at least the way that I look at it, is kind of tying to how it's such a big deal in the locker room. Like, your captain's sort of expected to be, like, maintaining that energy and that juju and that, like, that guiding, like, light of the whole entire thing. And also they're expected to perform. So, like, consistently, if, like, a captain is underperforming and is not, like, the star of the team, then it's, like, why are you the captain? And then it then, like, I think feeds into the energy if they suck. So, like, it's, like, a lot of high expectations on someone who has the C, because they're supposed to be not only an incredible leader, but, like, on and off ice.
Yeah, see, I don't get the whole, like, we blame the guy with a letter for losing.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah. It's almost, like, very similar of, like, head coach energy.
I thought they just meant we knew who was going to go talk to the refs.
Yeah, no, I think of it as, like, a bigger thing.
Okay. No. I'm learning. I can respect that other people care about it, and I can also say that it doesn't make a ton of sense to me.
No.
Look, I'm not going to blame Coots if the Flyers lose.
It could be fun, though, if you need to.
You know what? That's fair.
Right.
Okay. You changed my mind. I'm all in now.
You always need someone to blame.
It's Coots' fault that the Flyers were tired in the back-to-back yesterday.
Yeah. Was.
For sure.
You should have given them nap time.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. It's literally, I'm all in now. I'm like, well, like, sure.
Take
sounds
off
fun.
The fun patch now.
Yeah.
You know? You have assistants. Give it to one of them. Because there's also players that have AIDS.
Yes. Okay. Yes. But I did learn that it's controversial in hockey that people don't know what the A stands for. Is it associate? Is it assistant?
I always thought it was assistant.
There was another one that a hockey team tweeted recently, and I can't remember. And I was like, that's a whole other word. So you're a team assistant?
I'm having a crisis now where I'm questioning entirely if that is a thing or if I just made it up.
No.
Or like I don't know. The Islanders could not say that. And I just...
No, what I'm saying is, like, this is, like, a thing that, like, people really argue over. What is the A in hockey?
There's too many Yankees at this game.
Yeah, but Big Poppy has made it his mission to troll Derek Jeter by becoming the biggest Mets fan in the entire world,
yeah,
and I've
funny.
Really enjoyed that. It could also be alternate.
I don't like that one.
Because alternate captain.
I don't
that's
like
essentially
that one.
I always thought it was alternate, but it could be assistant or associate. I don't know. All this to say is captains, important. So Toronto or Rangers?
I'll never pick the Rangers, but I also want Toronto to have a bad time. So, Toronto.
I think the Rangers win this game.
I think you're right, but I won't say it.
No.
Like, I didn't just say that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Here is the game we're playing. There are a couple topics in sports business that we really want to talk about, but there is a 7-minute countdown to the start of the NLCS, which, of course, Nicole's Mets are playing. Despite the fact that she's wearing an Eagles hat, she is a Mets fan.
I had to leave all of that gear in New York.
Yeah.
I did not bring any New York gear at all besides my license to the state of Pennsylvania. I almost said Philadelphia. State of Philadelphia.
We're tired. We're really tired. And the first thing I really, really want to talk about is Lewis Hamilton being announced as one of the co-chairs for the Met Gala next year.
It's about time. It's like a thing that should have happened so long ago. Although it feels very right now. It feels good for him. Perfect. In between, like, you know, just
moving on to Ferrari.
Yeah.
Like entering a different stage of his career. Lewis Hamilton, Formula One driver, if you're not a Formula One, the greatest Formula One driver of all time. But I really like the topic they're doing.
The like black fashion. It's that's why I think the timing of it is so perfect. Mm-hmm. He is the perfect individual to have as one of the hosts. I know it's him and Pharrell. I'm
ASAP Rocky.
Mm.
I know LeBron is like a not a chair, but like a secondary. And I'm missing
consultant.
Yeah, I'm missing one person. Hopefully I put it on the screen or something. But and also just like after he did such a like Lewis Hamilton was always very intentional about what he does, but his Met Gala outfit this past year, like he did a whole deep dive into the history of black fashion and then used that to inform his outfit for 2024. So it clearly seems like this passion project that he put together. Yeah, I love watching Lewis Hamilton do cool things outside of F1.
Yeah. Like, and he is the king of being able to do cool things outside of F1 because he's like not scared to. And
speaking of, this week he officially launched his Dior collaboration. I said all that while you were chewing. This is the problem with mukbangs. So yeah, Lewis Hamilton did a capsule collection with Dior that he like custom designed. It's like not my taste, but it's like so him. And the fact that he is such a big deal that he got to do that.
Yeah, a capsule collection with Dior. And it's been teased for so long. It feels like forever.
Mm-hmm.
And finally to, like, have it out in the world. And I'm sure it's, like, one of... I can totally see, like, him doing another one. Like, mm-hmm. another season and another edition and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not that I would buy anything because...
It's a little expensive.
Yeah. But I love it for Lewis and... It's a good, I think it's such a amazing like brand pairing with him.
Yeah. I love listening to him talk about his journey in fashion and how he's learned to express himself and that individuality is a good thing. And he's like, and you know, being in such a white male macho dominated sport and how he's like used fashion as an area of self-expression. But if you look at Lewis Hamilton early on his career, he like purposely wasn't. And it's been like, such a great journey to watch him like as not only become the greatest in F1, but like simultaneously become like so comfortable with himself.
Yeah. And become such a face and like point of recognition just in so many other areas too. Like he's a driver that people who know nothing about F1, he would be the one that they know.
Like I almost didn't introduce him when we were talking about this segment because I was like, yeah, it's Lewis Hamilton. I have a couple more minutes left. Can we talk about Kyler Murray and the Call of Duty partnership?
Could not. Like, the most perfect pairing of things ever. It's the best joke, ongoing bit of Kyler Murray's performance.
Which I think, if you haven't heard, pre-injury Kyler Murray... his dips in performance did line up perfectly with any new Call of Duty release. So it's a joke, but is it a joke?
It's a joke that it's like correlation causation type things. Like there is correlation, may not equal causation. However, Call of Duty was like, that's enough for a solid campaign.
Yeah. And I will say, it was really the Arizona Cardinals that made this a big deal because it was really just a funny internet joke until Kyler Murray signed his big deal. And the Cardinals said in the deal, they put mandatory study hours for him. Like he's some college kid who needed to go to like the library. Which basically perpetuated this whole, like, he doesn't work hard, like, he's just playing video games thing that I think no one ever really believed. We were all just making internet jokes.
But then when it's something, like, having study hours or something in the contract, it's like, okay, well, what are you doing?
I find this to be such a win for Call of Duty.
Oh, huge.
Huge win for Call of Duty. I appreciate that Kyler Murray is confident enough in himself now that he's comfortable doing this, but I don't think this is actually... Like, the financial gain is a win for Kyler Murray, but this is, if his play dips, it's not...
Then it's not funny.
This is a risk.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is it's a risk for Kyler as a person, like, and his public perception. But I'm sure they paid him a lot of money to do it, so...
Oh, so he'll be okay.
I think we have 60 seconds for the last thing on this list. And then it's baseball time! NHL released their start of season ad, and they're actually promoting their stars. Have you seen this ad?
No.
Perfect. We're going to watch it together.
Kids these days.
Yeah.
Using Sidney Crosby as the grumpy old man was so smart. Yes. But watching the NHL go, hey, let's market our stars.
And is like use faces like off ice and then going on ice. I love also the stuff getting handed to us and it's just people getting past the cup is just so good.
I really like the self-care into the hits. Yeah, okay, so the Mets game is starting. Basically, we're shocked that the NHL is actually promoting personalities and people. It's a smart move. We're going to go stress out about this Mets-Dodgers game now. Thank you for listening to another sports show. No final buzzer this week. We will see you all on Friday for Friday Football Forecast.
Thank you for listening to another sports show. Thank you to our co-creators, Nicole Katz and Brianna Klein. Thank you to the four-legged executive producers and me, Voiceover Man. Make us one of your stars of the game by subscribing, liking the video, and turning on auto downloads. Make our day by leaving us a review on your podcast platform of choice and a comment on YouTube. Attend the postgame on social media for exclusive daily content. We'll be back to review the playbook every week. See you next Tuesday.
Today was another sports show in Philadelphia.
Go Birds! Go.